snow leopards are among the world's most endangered big cats. An estimated 3,000 to 6,000 remain in the wild. Although there are protected species under several international treaties, snow leopards are rapidly in decline. In this National Geographic radio expedition, Elizabeth Arnold tracks this elusive predator with those who want to protect it.
You can find everything from iPods to ibex horns in bustling markets like this one in remote western China. In one stall, the price of a fake snow leopard pelt is displayed on both a calculator and an ancient abacus. In the back, the real pelts sell for 100 times more. This market of pelts, bones, and antlers is one end of the illegal wildlife trade. The other end is hundreds of miles away, high in the rugged ridgelines of Central Asia. On the Trans-Mongolian Railway from Beijing to Ulaanbaatar, you know you're crossing the Gobi Desert from the dust. The fine brown sand creeps in through the windows and coats everything. We're headed much further, to the far northwest corner of Outer Mongolia, the northernmost range of the Altai Mountains, home of the snow leopard. On the last leg of the trip, we grind along in a battered jeep for another full day, climbing higher into the mountains. Finally, we stop and Munzog, our guide, announces this is it.
So, we are in Yamat Valley.
Yamat Valley is a vast, windswept place bordered by snow-capped peaks. Munzog scans the ridgeline. A small, energetic man, he's a wildlife biologist and the Mongolian program director of the International Snow Leopard Trust.
So this is wonderful habitat for the snow leopards, and the snow leopard population density is quite high because the area was protected since 1974.
Munzog has spent more than a decade tracking snow leopards and has only seen two in the wild. We have no expectation of seeing one, but do hope to find sign.
And the snow leopards like to travel certain places, and they also mark certain landscapes to communicate with each other. It's like language of people to talk with each other. Mm-hmm. Let's go and see.
Okay.
Yeah. Look for sign.
Munzog surveyed this area intensely in 1997, and ever since it's been part of a monitoring project that ranges from here to the southern Gobi Desert. By keeping close tabs on the cats and their prey, biologists can determine whether and where they're being poached. Edenbotter is the local ranger here. He and Munzog know just what to look for. Scratch marks on trees, shallow holes or scrapes in the ground, and scent marks on rocks from urine.
Look at this. You see this like some oil on stone, yeah?
Yeah, wet.
Yeah, wet. So this is snow leopard scent spray. Oh, yeah. You can smell. Do you want to try?
Oh.
Yeah.
Woo.
It's...
Strong.
Yeah. Let's continue.
Okay. These scent markings are territorial and help snow leopards locate mates during the breeding season. Edenbotter, in a deep blue Mongolian coat, cinched with a bright orange sash, picks his way easily up the steep slope, pointing out scrapes and tracks to Munzog every few hundred feet.
Very fresh. It's less than we called.
7 days old.
You see? Tracks of snow leopard.
Oh, from the claws.
Yes, claw. I would say it's 3 or 4 years old snow leopard, young one.
Yeah.
Yes.
From this past year of tracking, the two estimate there are as many as 20 cats in this area, a high number considering how endangered they are.
Why does he think this is important work to be doing?
I think we need to protect snow leopards because where there is snow leopard, there is everything.
So it's a sign that everything else
sign,
is healthy.
Yes, healthy mountain ecosystem.
But both are reluctant to say the situation here is getting better. It's hard to get by herding sheep. Poaching just a single snow leopard is highly lucrative, and demand from China for pelts and bones is on the rise. Mm. In the valley below, we duck out of the wind and inside Edenbader's small canvas yurt for mutton soup and milk tea. His wife Sandaleg keeps the fire going, boils the mutton, and serves the men. She, too, is involved in snow leopard conservation, teaching other women to make wool handicrafts, a project designed to relieve the economic pressure to poach. Early the next morning, we set out to look for ibex, a type of wild mountain goat with large curved horns, a staple of the snow leopard's diet. Munsag spots some almost immediately.
Do you see them?
I think
on this hillside, yeah. That's yellowish. Yeah.
Just below there.
Yeah,
below, oh, yeah. Now they're moving.
Yeah, just moving and, oh, look at that. You can see there on the top mountain.
Oh,
and,
in the profile.
In the sky, in profile, ah. Yeah. So that's very nice. Oh, look at them all.
The Mongolians are pleased as it's a sure sign that the snow leopards will have plenty of wild prey through the winter. On the way back, we make one last stop at a large flat rock, which at first glance looks as if it's covered in lichen. But upon closer look, they're petroglyphs, dozens of beautiful carvings in the rock.
Carved on the rock, made 3,000 years ago, yeah, by Mongolians. Many of ibex that you can see horn and tail very clearly.
Oh, they're supposed to be ibex.
You can just make out the antlers, legs, and tails of each animal.
So what else do we see? It must say there is snow leopard.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this. Oh. Yeah, this man.
Yeah.
With two legs, with two hands, and then...
Sure enough, circled by carvings of ibex, sheep, lynx, and snow leopards is the likeness of a man. Hitching up his long cloak and crouching closer, Edenbader traces the carvings with his finger and nods in acknowledgement. All must have lived here in this valley together all this time. Looking back up at the ridgeline, he softly begins a song his daughter and wife were singing earlier this morning. The words are simple. If you live in harmony with nature, your life will be better and the land will be softer for you. For Radio Expeditions, I'm Elizabeth Arnold.
Radio Expeditions is a co-production of NPR and the National Geographic Society. You can see the snow leopards and the people trying to save them in Mongolia at npr.org.